Good morning around the NBA world, or good afternoon, good evening, depends where you're listening from. The story of the day, ladies and gentlemen, is the Detroit Pistons. What a performance by Blake Griffin last night in an overtime victory over the Philadelphia 76ers. 50 points, and he's jumped atop the NBA leaderboard in scoring. The Detroit Pistons are undefeated, and I'm really happy to have a guest who I've sat alongside and behind and worked with for years and years, John Mason, better known as Mason, the public address announcer for the Pistons. And I don't know if Lawrence Tanter's got a more famous voice than you, Mason, but you guys are running. Yeah, well,
Dr.
you're running
Lawrence
neck and neck. And,
Tanner.
Yeah, because neck and neck. Just give us one for the crowd. What's the best team in the NBA right now? Where do they play?
Detroit basketball.
And what a performance from Blake Griffin last night at the downtown at the Little Caesars. And let's start right with that, John, because man, the Sixers were playing off him. Embiid was playing off of him. Saric was playing off of him. And Blake Griffin was playing point forward. He looked like LeBron James out there. Give us an idea of what it was like to be in the building last night.
Man, credit to Wayne Casey. I mean, this is what he came in saying he was going to figure out for Detroit. And he did. You know, it's still a lot of work in progress. It's way early in the season. But this is just superb. I mean, that's, you know, people thought that Blake Griffin, because he got traded to Detroit, would fake, I'm hurt, I'm not playing, man, I hate being here, cry baby. No, he came here on a mission, and he's making all of them get in the right position, and he's teaching them to play some winning basketball. Minus for us for a while. Stan Van Gundy set this whole thing up the way Casey is working it.
Yeah, it really is a testament to Stan. You know, he kind of ran out of time there, and Ed Stefanski came in and changed everything, changed the coaching staff, changed the front office. But Stan pulled off a nice trade, and because of injuries last year and because of the learning curve with Blake coming in midseason was a little bit tricky, he sort of fell off the national radar because, you know, John, you remember when Blake was doing it with the Clippers, and pretty much any time you watch a basketball game on TV, there's Blake Griffin selling Kia automobiles or something else. He was, you know, a larger-than-life figure in the NBA. When he was in that L.A. market, he moved to the Detroit market, and he kind of fell off the radar a little bit. But, you know, look at his stats now. Leading the NBA in scoring, 36.3 points per game. He's averaging 11.3 rebounds, almost 6 assists. He's playing 38 minutes a game, shooting 53% overall. But here's the big one, 61% on three-pointers. That's a part of Blake Griffin's game that he didn't really have with the Clippers when he came in. He was a dunker, and he was a damn good dunker. But, you know, and John, they played Blake as the point forward a little bit more than they did in their first two games. But how much of an adaptation you see in with Dwayne Casey into changing the way that the Pistons run their offense? They have two good point guards in Ish Smith and Reggie Jackson, but both those guys were playing off the ball last night.
That's right. That's right. Dwayne Casey, he'll put three point guards in. It's kind of the flow of the NBA. And he's trying to get the guys to be their best at what they do within the scheme of the team. Now, Blake Griffin, there's one statistic that was missing. He's the number one professor, teacher, coach on the floor. I mean, he's pulling players. Here's a stat. He pulled a player in each of the first two victories at the end of the game to school them about something that they did not do, but he did it, in a heartful way. But he's teaching. He's out there. To me, Blake Griffin may have been Showtime in California, but he is Detroit time now. He's taking these guys saying, I can point the way, follow me.
Would you compare him to, in, as far as leaders go, you know, in the Pistons heyday, you know, a good decade or so ago, it was Chauncey Billups doing that kind of a thing. You know, Chauncey had a couple MVP caliber seasons, and that team had a lot of cohesion. It was the same team year after year. Ben Wallace, Rip Hamilton, Chauncey. You all remember. Is Chauncey Billups a good comparison as far as being a leadership person on that team?
In his first three games, that's an absolute yes. I mean, Blake Griffin is very vocal. He was vocal even in preseason. I mean, he was talking to players who didn't even make the squad. I mean, he's been teaching, but yes, that's a good comparison. He is coming off much like the leadership that Chauncey Billups brought to Detroit during his time. So this time, it's Blake Griffin. And listen, no one appointed him leader. He took it upon himself to lead, to teach, to show the way. And it shows. I mean, you can see it. You can hear it. He checked into the game late yesterday and with Reggie Bullock. This had to be fourth quarter. It had to be another 3-4 minutes left in the game. He said to Bullock, he said, "Reggie, we're winning this game. Come in to win. We're winning this game." And boom, they went on the floor. I mean, he's a natural leader. You didn't see any of this last year. I shouldn't say any of it. You saw a spurt. He took more time with Andre Drummond during his inaugural season entrance to Detroit. But, man, go, Blake, go. Show them the way. They need to see a winner, play with them, and get it done. Now, eventually, the rest of them are going to eventually hit their stride because it's still early, and that's the beauty of it. It's still way early, way early. But if he can get them in that mode, and when they start to, when they, all those Pistons are firing at the same time, it could get very pretty in the NBA for Detroit again.
And you know, another guy who's atop the NBA leaderboards is Andre Drummond. Andre's a guy I ran into at Teammate USA camp out in Las Vegas over the summer, and I looked at him. I said, "Hey, wait a minute, are you Andre Drummond? Because you lost some weight, man." And we started talking, and he said, "Yeah, I'm down about 20 pounds. I'm working out, and I'm eating a mostly vegan diet." And that didn't go over too well on Twitter with the vegans. These people are kind of hardcore. You're either vegan or you're not mostly vegan, but. Andre's he's still, look, he's going to probably lead the league in rebounding, although Giannis Antetokounmpo is almost neck and neck with him at this point. But what do you notice differently about Andre this year? You know, his free throws are up. He's at 63%, which is good for him. But in terms of conditioning and just how he's playing on the court, you know, he got that second tech last night because Joel Embiid did a heck of an acting job. But put that aside. Over the three-game body of work, what are you seeing, and including the preseason as well, I guess?
Well, I see a couple things, and you saw two of them last night. Joel Embiid and Blake Griffin, they both have an influence over Andre. Joel came at him last year. Andre totally slimmed down. He's even taken some three-point shots. Now, he's made a couple. He's missed a few as well. But he's taking it with some confidence, and he's moving much better again. But a lot of this is the influence of Blake Griffin. A lot of it is. See, when you're playing next to the man, you know you want to be the man too. And this is a lot of influence off of Blake. Of course, he's been working out, trying to sharpen his game and add to his arsenal. But. Bottom line, this is the influence of Blake Griffin on the Detroit Pistons.
And, John, Mason, you know, you got a radio show, and please go ahead and plug it. Go ahead and do that. After I'll ask you the question, you plug the show, and then you can answer the question. But you got a radio show in the morning in the D, and what's the mood of the city in terms of this team?
Wow, the mood of the city. Listen, the Detroit Lions go down to Florida and knock off the 4-2 Miami Dolphins, and then the Pistons take care of business at home in Little Caesars Arena. So the mood is good. The sun is out. People feel good as we approach election season here. This is something that they've been waiting for. There was still some apprehension about people coming out to the game last night. They probably said to themselves, no way. They got to play Philly? They ain't got a chance. They blew them up. They stayed in the game. They stayed with them. And then Blake Griffin had this magnificent game. But the mood of the city, this is Detroit grind, Detroit pride. And it's really a grindy kind of thing. We need boosts like this. This arena is brand new. We're still getting people acclimated to coming down, getting into the arena. It's in the city. It's for the city. And that win last night will make them come down.
Yeah, anybody who spent any time in Detroit, you know, the Pistons were located up in the northern suburbs for a long time at the Silver Dome, and then for another a long time when Bill Davidson owned the team at the Palace of Auburn Hills. Then they moved that down 85% of the season ticket base from in the northern suburbs renewed, and those people are coming downtown and attending the games. But also, it's opened up some of the western suburbs. There's a lot more people coming in, from what I'm told, from Ann Arbor, and even folks from Windsor, Ontario. Windsor, Ontario, that crowd is coming in now because they can come in and they come through the tunnel or they come over the bridge and bam, they're right there at the arena. So how's the vibe downtown inside the arena different from what it was up in Auburn Hills, John?
It looks like a convention center on the concourse. That's what it reminds you of, the restaurants. There's displays to see. There's community stuff to watch, the light boards, everything. It's beautiful. You can get lost in that convention type of atmosphere on the concourse, and then you step inside the arena. So they did a great job in their planning, and what they're building around it is incredible. The housing, the restaurant. I mean, to me, it was a little bit of everybody, a little bit of what they did at the Baltimore Baseball Stadium with the Orioles and the stuff around it. It just has a little bit of everything going for it. But the product had to come up. You know, Stan was putting it in place. He was getting it set. And now Dwayne Casey, who brings another plan to it to improve on it. When the product raises, then people will dig in their pockets a little more. Again, you know, these are working people, so that money, that extra money is not always there. But they'll dig for it if you show for it. If you show out, they'll come out.
That certainly went through some not just lean years, but lean decades after the factories closed, the auto plants closed. But Dan Gilbert's put a lot of the owner of the Cavs. He's put a lot of energy and effort into the revitalization of downtown. Arne Tellem left the agent business and took over as president of the Pistons because he wanted to take part in the renaissance of downtown Detroit. And you know, you could still drive around Detroit and see stuff you wouldn't see in any other American city. It's kind of this like post-apocalypse stuff. The old train station is still standing, for instance. It's really something
And that whole train station was just purchased just days ago by the Ford Motor Company, and they're about to do something so dynamic in that area. It's going to be bananas.
Yeah, it's a wonderful city, and you know, great people, great soil too. I have friends who lived in Mexican Town who grew the best tomatoes I've ever tasted because it's black gold, that soil out that in downtown Detroit. And you know, a lot of artists have moved there because there's open space. There's urban farming in downtown Detroit because of you know, there's blocks and blocks of infrastructure where houses were torn down, and they're planting food there. You know, Detroit is full of great stories. There's one that I really love. Back in the late 60s, General Motors built a streetcar system. It was the best streetcar system that they ever produced. And then, corruption being what it was, Detroit decided to switch over to buses. And so what they did with the streetcar system, a friend of mine, Lisa Collins, who used to work for the alternative paper and for the Free Press out there, wrote this story. They took the whole streetcar system and they sold it to Mexico City. Mexico City bought all the cars. They shipped everything down there, and it's still running. The streetcar system in Mexico City.
Wow, how about that now?
Yeah, despite all the earthquakes and everything else, that's the best streetcar system General Motors ever built, and it's still running 50 years later in Mexico City. So a little bit of Detroit history for you. But let's get back to the team, Mason. And I want to ask you about a few guys. You know, Reggie Jackson's a guy that pretty much the whole NBA knew that the Pistons were trying to trade him over the last few years. And he's been in a timeshare with Ish Smith. How do you see that one playing out?
Oh, I love it. You know, Reggie is first up. Reggie's first up. He loves this team. He understands all the things he's trying to get together, as well as his health. With the return of Arne Kander, which is one of the best people to have on your bench for team health, kept the Pistons.
Yeah, he's
healthy.
The strength and conditioning coach. He was gone for a couple of years, but he's back.
Kept him healthy, doggone near 10 years. I mean, you know, so this will be good. Reggie's working on himself, and he has a different mindset with Arne. Arne brings a holistic approach to your health, to your mentality. So this is helping Reggie as well. But Reggie's been waiting to get back to this. Now, when you mention Ish Smith, again, put another star in the corner of Stan Van Gundy when he picked him up. Ish Smith can change the tone of a game in an instant. I mean, he's just instant offense, instant energy, and he's got a pro swag to him. He understands what he's doing. He's not just running. He's got a swag to it. He's playing the game at a certain level that's incredible. I mean, he needed – listen, Blake Griffin needed Ish Smith last night. This is Ish can always get it done, man. He can shoot. He'll set it up. He's a great ball distributor. But between him and Reggie, you get two different tones. You know, people try and do that, but this one is an absolute. They're two warriors going at that point for Detroit, and it just helped.
And what about another guy who's when he came out and he was in rookie orientation? This is Stanley Johnson. When he came into the NBA at rookie orientation, his fellow rookies said this guy's going to be the rookie of the year. They conduct a poll among those guys. And he was the guy that everyone picked as, yeah, this guy's going to win Rookie of the Year. Then he had some personal tragedies within his family, kind of set him back mentally for a year or two. But what's going to become of Stanley Johnson? Tremendous amount of talent. It just hasn't translated into production on the pro level, John.
When the hire was made, when it was announced that it was Dwayne Casey, and they first put a microphone to him, the first player that he mentioned by name was Stanley Johnson. He sees the potential you're talking about. He thinks he can get to Stanley. And that's what we'll have to let the year play out and see. He does have the ability. Dwayne Casey makes it known. He'd rather have him on the floor for defensive purposes than anything. His offense will come. But Dwayne Casey will be the right coach for a player like Stanley Johnson. And you're right. The tragedies that he went through, I mean, I'll tell you something as simple as the roommate that he had when he came in as a rookie got traded, which was Spencer Dinwiddie. I mean, Spencer was doing all the cooking because I asked him about that. So Spencer was doing all the cooking. They take Spencer away from him. His mom passes and some other things. But I think Stanley will find his way. This is what you start to look at in about 15 to 20 games. Where is Stanley Johnson now? And I think it'll take 15 to 20 games for him to just settle in what he's supposed to do.
Yeah, it's interesting with Dwayne because he went 11 deep last year with the Toronto Raptors. Every single game he went 11 deep on his bench, but he doesn't have an 11 deep bench to go to with the Detroit Pistons. So I think he's showing that, hey, he, you know, just because he coached the Pistons or the Raptors one way last year doesn't necessarily mean he's going to coach the Pistons the same way this year. But he's also got, you know, he had a guard-heavy roster last year with DeRozan and Kyle Lowry with the Raptors that he had to work around. Now he's working around the best player on his team, Blake Griffin, and Blake playing point forward is certainly an eye-opener. And, John, you know, right now the Pistons are on the board at 100-1 to win the NBA championship. And, hey, it would be like, hey, that's a real big number. But let me tell you something. 2 days ago they were on the board at 250-1 to win the NBA championship. So the odds have dropped from 250-1 to 100-1. Yeah, look, sports gambling in the United States, it's not illegal anymore. On May 14th, the law that said you had to bet Nevada that was overturned by the Supreme Court. So, you know, there's a whole new world of legalized gambling in the United States. Heck, you guys have the MGM Grand and you got the Greektown Casino. There's been a lot of legalized gambling in Michigan for a long time. But even now, the Pistons are 4-1 to win the Central Division. And Blake Griffin's going on the board at 50-1 right now today to win MVP. Right now, the favorites are LeBron James, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Anthony Davis. They're all 4-1. James Harden, 6-1. Kawhi Leonard, who's having a real nice start, he's 7-1. But, you know, getting back to Detroit, how long is this gonna keep up? You said 20 games for Stanley, but what about a body of work for the Pistons as a whole? When do you think is a good time to say, to judge them? Like, damn, they're for real? Or, you know, oh, that was just they got off to a good start, a lucky start, but they just, you know, they're not built right to compete.
Well, they got off to a good start last year. They went into Golden State and took down the Warriors, and they took down a couple of other big teams, both East and West, this time last year. But what no one could figure out, as you just stated, are they really built for that? Well, I think now the foundation is set. I think it's still going to be in the Stanley Johnson number. You still got to get into about 15, 20 games to see if it's really working, what happens when it goes sour. Now, they went through that in preseason, and that was one of the things that Coach Casey talked about a lot, is going through the diversity. You know, when the bad times come, how do you hold on? So here we go. We're three games in. We face the Cleveland Cavaliers on Thursday. The Celtics dumped it down on Saturday. So it's still some more tests. What would it be if they got by those two? And then, it's going to take 15 games, though, to really get a sense when they settle. Can they go 15 straight? Who knows? Who knows? But right now, it feels so different winning these three than the way they opened up last year, including the way they knocked off the Warriors. It still feels different. So the foundation, I think, is, of course, it's still a work in progress, but give it 15, 20 games and then take a look at Detroit and see where they are. I believe Detroit is the sleeper in the East. I think they can knock off more teams than people can imagine. And I know people are careful to talk about Detroit. Well, the one thing, again, that didn't happen, Blake Griffin didn't come and sign a seat on the bench. He came to play, and that's trouble. If he comes to play and Andre gets his act in solid order with the consistency, because Andre can have a triple-double night himself if he stays consistent. And then Reggie does his work. And then Ish comes and changes the tone of the game. And don't forget about Reggie Bullock. He still hasn't hit his stride yet. He can throw up some threes, and he can play some good deep. So it's going to be 15 to 20 games before we see or have an idea where the Pistons are really going to settle in at.
Yeah, Reggie had a shot at the end of regulation that it was in and out. I mean, damn, the ball was halfway down and it came out. Would have wanted it at the end of regulation. But If that had happened, we wouldn't have got to see Blake make that end one with a second and a half left, that won
and
the game.
History owed Blake Griffin that shot. History owed him that shot for the reason he got 50. Yes, that shot was destined to be all for Blake Griffin.
Yeah, and looking at the Pistons schedule, they don't play a Western Conference team until November 21st when they go to Houston, and then Houston comes into Detroit. That's a back-to-back against the Rockets. But certainly Friday night's going to be a test. Boston comes into the D, and then Monday night the teams go at it again in Boston. And then the Pistons are on the road at Brooklyn, at Philly. Then they get Miami at home, at Orlando, at Atlanta, Charlotte at home, at Toronto, Cleveland at home. That's not a real tough schedule. I mean, certainly Boston, Philadelphia, Miami, all quality teams. None of those games are gimmies. But, you know, you could be looking after 14 games before they do play a Western Conference team. You could be looking at a 12-2 or an 11-3 record. You agree, or are you going to go with 14-0, John?
Well, see, that's why I said we go 15, 20 games in. That gives you a chance for 15 games to see where you are. You'll get your direct opponent. Then you go west. And if you go west, you know, with everything in your suitcase, your defense, you know where you're supposed to be, and you know how to close games, then we'll know what type of team, how dangerous the Detroit Pistons can be. And my gut tells me this year they're going to be dangerous. They're going to be. That Ish Smith, Reggie Bullock, Jackson, Drummond, Griffin, I mean, and listen, we didn't see last night, we didn't see Glenn Robinson III. He's another good one. Luke Kennard, he'll wake up some more as well. He'll get his game. He's still coming back from a knee injury. When that heals, that's why we got to get into the 15 to 20 game. They've got some players who can pull it off, and Blake Griffin is leading the way.
And, you know, 100-1 on the board gives me an opportunity to put in a plug for the people who are paying the bills. You know, this podcast lives on GetMoreSports.com, but we're sponsored by BetDSI.com, and BetDSI.com is one of the top sports books in the world. If you go there and enter the promo code BBALL1000, it's all capital letters, BBALL1000, they'll match up to $1,000 U.S. If you're listening overseas, you got to go to BetDSI.eu. Same bonus is available, though. You use bonus code BBALL1000, all capital letters. They'll match up to $1,000 U.S., and they'll also give you a $25 free play. That's a lot of free money, and you can have some fun with it. Spread your bets around. Don't bet the mortgage. You don't know all the good advice. But John, getting back to the schedule, it's such an Eastern Conference-laden schedule over the first couple months of the year. They don't take their first Western Conference road trip, lengthy one, until January 9th when they go to Lakers, Kings, Clippers, and Jazz. And then they don't go back again for another long Western road trip until, man, it's all the way – it keeps scrolling down. It's all the way in March. They go to Phoenix, Portland, Golden State, and they play three games in four nights. And then two nights later, they're at Denver. But if the Pistons are going to be a powerhouse in the East, they're going to get to show it against Eastern Conference teams between now and Christmas. And so with that in mind, where do you see for this team? I mean, you saw it last night. Pachulia was playing with five fouls after Drummond got ejected. They don't have a third center. But where, if you were Ed Stefanski and you said, okay, man, we got to tweak this roster, where are you looking to make an adjustment?
Well, you know, Chris, that's something that I'll leave to the way Casey and Stefanski. They've done well by their choices. Either they'll make a move, but I haven't heard anything of that nature. But Dwayne Casey hasn't shown all of his strengths yet. I mean, he hasn't put in all of his good stuff yet. He's still tinkering. He's still going back and looking at it. I think they'll make an adjustment. Who knows how far along John Lohr is? If John Lohr is closer to late November, early December, he'll be able to fulfill that role behind Petruia. He'll be, because John Lure can get on the three-point line and he can shoot. So he can also rebound. It's just a matter of his health right now. But if he's as close as I think he is, late November, early December would be perfect for him to show back up. He's a good, solid player, and he's already been told he'll play under the rim, and he can get out on that three-point line. He's valuable. We just haven't had a chance to see him play yet.
Yeah, John Lawyer and Henry Ellenson as well. Henry's playing for the Team USA qualifying team for the World Cup. That's being coached by Jeff Van Gundy. He went to the best school in America, Marquette. So,
Come
Hey man, I got a lot of friends in the Detroit area who went to Marquette. Len Trotter, who's still shooting under par out in the suburbs, one of my buddies from college. But Mace, we're going to wrap up. But give us a plug where we can hear you on the air.
I'm in Detroit. I'm at a station called Kiss 105.9. I've actually adjusted my time. I now do a show from noon to 3. Yep, in the afternoon here in Detroit. That's so I can do NBA at night and get a good sleep in and then hit the air. We have a lot of fun, and of course, we talk a lot of basketball too.
Yeah, well, there's a lot to talk about in Detroit, whether you're talking Michigan State, Red Wings, Lions, Tigers.
Man, and then Michigan goes and puts their footprint down at Michigan State over the weekend and then move up in the AP polls. So blue, green, and white, it's been a good fight. And then again, we got the Lions, and they seem to be trending in the same direction as the Pistons. You just don't know. You got to wait a few more games. But they've come up. They've beaten New England. They've beaten Miami. No one accounted for them to do that. And they're playing some good football. And the Pistons are following. And they support. In our arena, our football team shows up. Matt Stafford, Golden Tate, all of them guys are always at the game.
Yeah, it's a heck of a sports town. And it's an American gem. And if you've never spent any time there, take a trip through Detroit one day and spend a couple days there. There's a lot to do. There's a lot to see. There's some wonderful, wonderful museums. Beautiful, beautiful architecture. Some of it looks upkept better than others, but then Eastern Market is probably the best place in America to buy hot dogs. That's one of my secrets.
And how about all of our sports arenas and stadiums are in walking distance? We got Comerica Park, our baseball diamond, next to Ford Field, and then just blocks away is Little Caesars Arena. I mean, nobody anywhere has that going on. We got all three right downtown in walking distance.
Yeah, it's a fun downtown, and then you can walk down to the shores of the lake, look across the Detroit River, and look across and see Canada.
That's where I live, off the river.
Yeah, odd geographical fact. If you go due south from Detroit, you end up in Canada, in Windsor. Nobody knows that, but it's the only city in Canada that's south of a major American city. But Detroit's a gem, and John Mason is a gem. You hear his booming voice on the mic every time you watch a Pistons game, and because of where he's sitting, he's got a vantage point where he's seeing everything the coach is doing, and he's seeing stuff like Blake Griffin talking to the other players. So. Mace, I appreciate you coming on the show, and your insight is always invaluable. But I don't know that people quite realize how close you are to the team on a physical basis, on a night to night basis. So it's a pleasure having you on the show, and keep doing what you're doing, man. You still put chills in everybody's bones when you call those when you call out. Go ahead one more time.
Yeah. When I go Detroit basketball, Chris, thank you so much, man. It was a lot of fun, man. And I'm telling you, everybody's listening, pay attention. Just keep an eye on Detroit. If they're still playing good basketball, 15 to 25 games in, you'll go. It could be a shocker. They could be the team that messes up the East. I know Philly wasn't expecting that last night. I know they're still shocked this morning. They thought they were going to come in, blow them out of here, and get on with their business. But no, when you come this way, you're going to have to play because they're going to bring everything we got. Detroit basketball.
He's John Mason. He's the best. And, the Sixers got their hands full tonight in Milwaukee. We'll see how they can handle Giannis, who's right up there with Andre Drummond leading the NBA in rebounding. So that's it for episode 22 of Sports Betting Tips with Chris Sheridan. I'm real happy to have John Mason on. John, thanks for your time, and we'll look forward to hearing you over the loudspeaker and then in the building anytime anybody drops through Detroit. That's a
beautiful
wrap.
Chris. Thank you.
Thank you too, Mace. And that's an over and out.